Current State on WKAR. Thanks for joining us. Neurodegenerative disorders, such as Parkinson's disease and Alzheimer's, cost the U.S. billions of dollars each year. Last year, a study supported by the National Institutes of Health found that in 2010, the cost of treating Alzheimer's alone neared $215 billion. These devastating illnesses also take a huge emotional toll on both the victims and their loved ones. A team at Michigan State University is studying a protein molecule that it feels may become a new drug in the fight against degenerative diseases. They say they're ready to make the leap to clinical trials. Current State's Kevin Lavery has the story.
Scientists have been studying Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, and Huntington's disease for well over a century. In the last two decades, the cases of such high-profile figures as actor Michael J. Fox and actor-turned-president Ronald Reagan put these disorders into the national spotlight. In that time, researchers have made good strides towards zeroing in on what causes these ailments, and some of that work is happening at Michigan State University.
The first thing we have to ask is, why do we get these diseases? And we think we're starting to uncover that.
Dr. Lisa Lapidus is not an MD. She's a physicist in the Department of Physics and Astronomy. Her work focuses on how proteins fold, that is, form three-dimensional structures in the body to carry out different tasks.
Proteins are in every cell of your body. They do almost all the work in your body, and they all have the same basic chemical structure.
Proteins are made up of thousands of amino acids that link together in long chains. Many have a corkscrew shape that looks something like rotini pasta noodles or a desktop telephone cord. Remember those? Proteins do all kinds of things, from sending chemical signals to fighting off foreign antibodies. In a healthy body, protein chains bind together to create these Tinkertoy-type designs that carry out the functions of life. But sometimes, Lapita says, they don't, and that's when the problems start. Instead of binding harmoniously, some proteins aggregate, that is, clump together.
What do we know about why rogue protein chains clump together?
Not nearly as much as we think we ought to. What we have discovered in my lab is that there seems to be a correlation between how fast a particular protein can move around to find the shape that would make it fold and its likelihood of aggregating. While it's moving around really fast, like a big wiggly worm, if it comes into contact with another protein, it can't stay in one place long enough to stick to the other one. And so it'll tend to just wiggle away and not stick.
Lapidus wants to know the conditions under which proteins go bump in the night. It is dark inside your body, after all. And to do that, you need to shed a little light on the subject. We're standing in Lapidus' lab, looking at a sort of optical pinball machine. It's a tabletop with about a dozen small black lenses mounted 6 inches above the surface. The device shoots two lasers through each of the lenses, one blue and one green. Actually, the blue light also contains a UV laser, but human eyes can't see it. Still, the colors are intriguing.
So this is sort of like that laser grid you see in the spy movies, but maybe not that exciting?
Well, there's less good music, and you can't see the laser beams as clearly, which, of course, wouldn't make them very good in spy movies.
But indeed, we are spying on a common amino acid called tryptophan. It and a few billion others are inside a small black box. That's where the lasers are focused.
So we shine a little pulse of laser light at it. We get it excited. It then will absorb some light. Eventually, it will decay back to a state which won't absorb that light. And we measure how long we absorb that light for. That time tells us how likely it is that that particular amino acid comes into contact with another amino acid someplace else in the chain.
But the molecule that's got Lapidus excited is something called CLR01. Those who study it call it a molecular tweezer. In a word, CLR01 prevents protein clumping. Stop the clumping, stop the disease. Lapita says the work being done at MSU seeks to answer why this molecule may be a potential drug. She says previous studies with other candidates have started out strong but then missed the mark. But this one is different.
What has happened with a lot of these drugs for Alzheimer's and Parkinson's in particular is that it looks like it's working in cells, and then it seems to work in animals, and then you put it into people and it doesn't work at all. And that may be because whatever we're trying to use to measure it in cells and animals isn't really attacking the molecules that really matter. We have now tried to understand what the drug does to the molecules, and by doing that, we hope that we've actually understood what will eventually happen when you put it into humans. And that's why we think that clinical trials are a good idea right now.
That's where Lisa Lapidus, the physicist, hands off the work to her colleagues in the medical field. One of them is Dr. Gal Bitton. He's an associate professor of neurology at UCLA. Bitton says CLR01 has been run through 7 scientific models so far, and none of them have produced any side effects. He says other drug candidates have been tested and even written about in medical literature. But Bitton says even then, no one has really known how or why they work.
In this particular case, we do know the fact that it works for a large number of cases, to me, is quite convincing. The fact that we haven't seen side effects despite all the predictions, the mechanism is really novel. Therefore, I believe we have a breakthrough.
In the medical world, breakthrough is not a term that's flung around lightly. Still, Bitton says securing the necessary funding to take CLR01 to clinical trials has been tough. He says while his team has received some grants from foundations that support Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, and ALS research, they haven't been enough. So Bitton is appealing directly to the public through crowdfunding. He concedes it's an uncomfortable journey for a scientist.
I don't like doing this. I would much rather sit in the lab and design the next experiment or write the next paper than try to do fundraising. But I know that the patients can't wait. And I believe that what we have is going to make a huge difference. If it works in people the way it has worked in the scientific models so far, I believe it can change healthcare in the 21st century.
Bitton says it will take $2 million to launch a clinical trial. That process will measure both the safety and the efficacy of the drug as it runs the FDA gauntlet. Bitton's team has posted its appeal online at the crowdfunding site Indiegogo.com. Back at the MSU lab, Lisa Lapidus realizes she and Dr. Bitton have a long way to go to raise the money that will put CLR01 in the hands of real human beings willing to give it a try. Until then, she says, MSU can still do meaningful and less expensive work towards cracking the code of degenerative disease.
So we have lots more that we can do simply on the molecular level of understanding which drugs will work and which ones won't. So hopefully that can move forward even if the clinical trials take longer than we'd like.
Dr. Lapidus believes it could take only a matter of months to move the molecule to trial. But then comes the steep climb. There's no one-size-fits-all drug in existence, and learning how the human body handles or rejects new treatment is likely to take many years. For Current State, I'm Kevin Lavery.